3D printing was in the news recently when a Texas group called Defense Distributed posted instructions on its website for printing a functional plastic handgun using a 3D printer. Although the State Department had the group remove the postings, the story brought 3D printing to the headlines, and we here at Current State wondered about this new technological frontier. So for some basic lessons on 3D printing, we've brought in Dr. Patrick Kwan. He's a professor of mechanical engineering here at Michigan State University. Welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, what is 3D printing?
Basically, what manufacturing people do is they will develop drawings of the product, and then they'll try to make that product. So in 3D printing, what they do is they make a CAD file, which is a computer model of that product, and trying to do as simple as possible how to go from that model to real product. So for example, in that plastic model, what they do is there's a few technology to do it. And one of the ways that they do is UV light sensitive polymer. So you start with a liquid polymer, and then you focus these UV light at certain location, start solidifying these materials. Mm-hmm. So we call that curing. So we start curing certain area one point after another, and then you can start building these models.
I think what hangs a lot of people up, and what hangs me up to an extent, is the fact that people think of printing as a two-dimensional process, obviously we're talking about a three-dimensional process here, which changes the whole thing.
It's put a lot of effort needs to go in order to be able to do that. So, for example, you can start it with a plate with these material to be built, so you can start adding it one layer at a time. So you start adding these materials, and then this plate will lower down and start adding another set of material. So you can start building these into very complicated shape.
Many of us have never seen a 3D printer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have them across the street in the engineering department?
Yeah, it is in our engineering building. So this is only for polymer that has been probably most closest as the real material. But when you go into a metal and ceramic and other material, it becomes a little tougher.
And a polymer, remind us what a polymer is here again. It's a hard plastic?
Yeah, it is hard plastic, yes.
Okay. And are these 3D printers, are they large? Are they the size of a conventional printer, paper printer?
I think there are someone that's as small as a paper printer. Now it's existing.
Wow.
But there are something bigger. For example, GM wants to make a prototyping of the big part. Then they have to use a bigger environment to do it, right? So this whole thing actually started as back in 60s and 70s, trying to go from a CAD file to CAM file, what they call. So CAD is the model of the product.
Computer-aided design to computer-aided manufacturing.
So what these CAD file has become is that they can now generate the code that will feed into CNC machine. So you can actually get these...
A printer.
Well, it's not a printer
in
that case. I'm talking about 60s and 70s people are doing that.
Okay.
And then they want to go even quicker. Just go directly, feed the code into this printing machine, and you can actually make it into a part.
Now, are any of these in use by the general public now or not?
Those are available. Some of the plastic parts can be made.
Could I find a 3D printer here in the Lansing area? I mean, you've got them in the engineering department.
Yeah, yeah. We have some students actually make a model out of it and actually print it into a product, and so they can actually use that for their design.
What did they make?
Oh, it varies depending on
anything that could be made out
of
hard plastic could theoretically be made in your lab.
Yes,
now,
that can be.
There's huge implications here. Yeah. Economically, especially here in a traditionally manufacturing, car manufacturing town. What do you make of that? I mean, is this decades down the road before this thing plays out, or do you think this will be playing
already,
out quickly?
Yeah, I think it's already in. I mean, I only talk about one UV-sensitive ones, but there is many other type of polymeric material that you can do. So some of them are probably very close to a functional part. One of the technique that I didn't mention is it's like a toothpaste. So thin polymeric material will get deposited, just like a toothpaste will.
Right.
And then start building layer by layer. So you can build into something. But as you can see, because of the way they made it, it's not really at the strength level that most of the polymeric material that you see on the market.
And nothing is being made with 3D printers now that's metal?
There is a metal, but there's still, for example, if you are in making the metal, you have to start it from a liquid molten metal, and then they make a mold, and then they introduce these molten metal into these cavity, and then when you cool it down, it becomes that part, and then you have to do a few more steps to get to the actual part, but you can actually go from molten metal to there. But the big problem is going from molten metal to the solid metal, there is a shrinkage that occurs, and you have to control all these things in order to do that. And in order to do 3D printing in metallic material, the biggest issue is that you can melt the metal, deposit one, and that has shrank. And then if you put it on top of it, there's another metal that will try to shrink, so they will cause some what we call residual stress one another.
Okay.
So which weakens the structure.
We're talking with mechanical engineering professor Dr. Patrick Kwan of Michigan State University about 3D printing. What excites you the most about this technology?
I think one of the, big orthodontic in application. I don't know whether you heard the Visalign. So when you do the orthodontic. Those are 3D printed.
Invisalign.
Invisalign. Those are, so if you are trying to make. So in that product, individual has a different geometry that they have to go to, right? So you start from one and eventually changing into a
This is a dental alignment system. For our listeners who don't know about Invisalign. Yeah. So that already employs 3D?
That is actually being used.
How about that?
Yeah.
Folks who watch, our listeners who have watched Star Trek might be familiar with machines that make a cup of hot tea for Captain Picard. Do you know if any work is being done on printers that can synthesize food? I have to ask.
Oh, that I do not know. I'm not a food expert, but I'm more a metal and ceramic person. So, those are the 3D printing into metal is another challenge. And then I'm sure some people claim they've done it, but there's a shrinkage that occurs and there's some residual effect. And so I don't think it's at the level where you can actually take these part and put it into your car.
I would think that recreating food products, though, might be relatively easy compared to some of the items that you're talking about here.
I'm not sure about that. Food may be a little different story.
We've discovered the next frontier of 3D printing here this morning on Current State. It's food. How did you happen to become interested in this?
Oh, 3D. Well, as a researcher, I start playing with the powder processing. So there's one technique where you can actually put these metallic powders into a mold and then compact it and sinter it and make it into a product. So that becomes a natural link to 3D printing because you can actually put the layers of these powders and put chemicals which will bind these powders, and then you can start layering up on top of each other and then blow out the loose powder, and you got basically a shape of that product.
How about
Dr.
Patrick Kwan is a professor of mechanical engineering here at Michigan State University, and we've been deciphering 3D printing. Thank you, Dr. Kwan.
Okay, thanks a lot.